your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, you might say, I've never read Ecclesiastes. Where is Ecclesiastes? Well, if you go to the book of Psalms, it's in the very middle, and you go a couple books to the right, you get to Ecclesiastes. And this particular passage this morning is one of the more familiar passages to people. It's one that has been read. As a matter of fact, the passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 11, is one of the only secular songs that is made up almost entirely of Scripture. Now, if you're older, you're going to remember this song, but back in 1969, the Byrds made this song popular. You go home and Google it and check it out. A guy named Peter Siegler actually wrote the music for it, and it's the song that the only three words that he added were the words, you remember what they were? Turn, turn, turn. But almost the entire song, and it was a very popular song, came straight from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it was well-received song. It was, I think at that time, used primarily trying to bring peace about, because it talks about turning from war to peace. But the time that we're going to talk about this morning is God's time zone. Whether you like it or not, you exist in God's time zone. And you need to understand that God created time. God doesn't exist in time. You do know that, right? God is eternal. He's never had a beginning and never had an end. You say that's impossible. That's why He's God. But for mankind, God created what we know as time. And He created it for us to live by. And we measure everything by the terminology time. As a matter of fact, every single day that you wake up, if you make it for the next 24 hours, God would have given you 86,400 seconds of time, which represents 1,440 minutes, which equals 24 hours a day. And the cool thing about time, everybody has the same amount. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire. It doesn't matter if you're poverty-stricken. Everybody in this room gets 24 hours a day. It's just the way it is. And the thing about time is it is so incredibly valuable. Once you spend it, you never get it back. You never get to reverse time. It always goes forward. One person said it's like this. Life is like a coin. You spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. I mean, I can't get back what I just said. It's gone. It's lost in time. And we live in a time, in a world, see, you use the word all the time. We live in a world that is measured by time. Just think about your conversations. This week, you may have said something like this. What time does the meeting start? I don't have time. How much time will it take? It's time to go. Time out. That was a difficult time. We had a great time. It's time for a quiz. We use the word time constantly. And time, like I told the kids, is important because it's how we measure life. And time is so significant because if you don't use it correctly, you don't get it back. And so this passage in Ecclesiastes is written to us to remind us that our entire lives are measured by time. And it's kind of a scary thing, to be quite honest, because you can waste time. You cannot use it properly, and that's such a scary thing to me. But here's the other thing about time. It's temporary. It will end. For you personally, it ends the day you die. Time is temporary. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, he's wanting us to see how life is constantly changing, how time is constantly changing. So let's read beginning in verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3. It says this, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." What he's saying is, there's nothing that happens on this earth that God didn't plan for. And then he says, he gives the contrast. This actually is a poem. And listen to the contrast. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. My allergies are killing me. Don't get COVID crazy on me. How many of you are allergic to ragweed? Lights up every day, doesn't it? Where was it? A time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. And then look at verse 11. Thank goodness for verse 11. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Now, how do we pack that and take it home practically speaking? First of all, verse 1 basically is teaching us this principle, this biblical principle, that we need to accept that God controls the seasons and the times of our lives. In other words, God allows all the things that happen in your life, and He allows it to happen for a purpose, for a reason, if you allow Him to show you the reason. You know, a lot of times people think right now that God is distant, that He's not here because of the virus that has invaded our world. That's not true. God's very aware of it. He's not scared of it. God is very aware, and God never loses control of the world. We say the world is out of control. The world is out of control. But if we allow God to work in the out of control world, He brings good out of the bad. For everything there is a season. For everything there is a time of life that you go through. And I want to be honest with you, all the seasons that you go through in life are not positive. You understand that? There are hard seasons in life. There are difficult seasons of life. And one of the things we need to understand is that we need to understand that God is still in control when we go through difficult times, as well as when we go through good times. God never loses control. And the Scripture teaches that He is in control of every season and every time period that we go through. Now you might say, well, He does not know what He's doing, because I don't like the season of life that I'm in right now. Well, understand this. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says this: "My thoughts," talking about God, "my thoughts are not your like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far from beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You see, when you're going through a difficult time in life, and you're starting to think God has lost control, you're already in trouble when that happens. God hasn't lost control. And the thing that we as Christians have to learn to do, that sometimes the difficult times in life that we have to go through, God is going to bring something beautiful out of it. The problem is, for us as humans, we don't like for God to be in control, do we? We want to control our lives. And when something happens to us, we get mad. Oh, why did God let that happen? We get ticked off because things happen. But the truth is, your life will get easier, your life will get better when you begin to trust God with the controls of your life. And when you go through a difficult season, which I think I have can speak to, when you go through a difficult season, if you begin to allow Him to be in control, He can bring beautiful things out of it. Like I told the kids a minute ago, when you're going through a hard time, a difficult time, it might be a season of sickness, it might be a season of troubles. Remember this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And then it says, "Do not depend on your own understanding." You see, the problem is, when we go through a difficult season, when we go through a difficult time of life, we try to figure it out. And the truth is, you may not be able to figure it out, but if you will let God teach you, He will teach you the good stuff you can learn from it. It says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." Here's the problem with people. They go through a hard time. They go through a hard season. Something terrible happens, and they don't look to God. They either get mad at God or blame God, but they don't allow God to show them the good that He wants to bring out of it. You see, we need to understand God is in control, and when you go through the different seasons of life, He's going to help you out, and He's going to give you perspective if you allow Him to. So the second thing is this. If you're going to be in this life, and if you're going to enjoy the time on earth that you have, you're going to have to learn to accept the good and bad seasons of life. That is the whole point of this poem. Life is not all easy and good. Would you agree? I mean, he begins with the first one. The first part we love. There's a time to be born. We like that. We love that. But it says also there's a time to die. We don't like that season, do we? But that's reality, isn't it? There is not... Now, I hate to be morbid, but do you know there's not a person in this room that will escape death? That's reality. You say, that's morbid. I'm not. I'm just being real. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. Now, here's the interesting thing. God controls that. We think we do. Have you ever waited on a baby to come? And, you know, they give the... I remember, I guess it was Julie. They gave her, is it Pitocin? It's whatever's supposed to speed up delivery. Y'all know medical terms. I don't know. And I'm thinking, all right, baby, I'm fixing to have a baby. No, didn't hurry, you know. Just recently, my mom, we were told she would die soon. Now, you tried defining soon. We drove all the way to Houston, got to Houston, and she died 30 minutes after I got there. And I can remember being in that room, holding her hand, begging her to die. I mean, you, honestly, because she would be better off. But even me begging her to die, doing, you know, being there for her, she still didn't die. I would have had her never suffer a single bit of pain. You see, we don't get to control that. You know, we need to understand that life is a weird combination of things. As my father was dying 2 years ago, babies were being born and they were playing lullabies over the intercom system as he was dying. What a weird thing. One's leaving, one's coming. You know, a depressed person will question, why was I born? And a depressed person will also say, why can't I die? We don't have control of that. We think we do, but we don't. Here's another one. A time to plant and a time to harvest. You know, one thing, I've learned this about Bob. I know where he is certain parts of the year. And I know where he's going to be going today. He's headed delivering elderberries. Bob doesn't plant elderberries during the harvest time, do you? No. He cooperates with nature. And there is a time to plant and there is a time to harvest. You know, in your personal life, not in the agricultural life, you may have said, well, I'm ready to move on. And God doesn't move you. You're planted. And you think, why? And then there's times when you say, I love where I am in life. And guess what God does? He harvests you, moves you somewhere else. You see, the seasons of life are under His control, not yours. Now listen to the next one. It says, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. Life is strangely fixed between a battlefield and a first aid station. You know, you may have on the page in the newspaper about murder and medicine. Life is made up of both killing and healing. God permits some to live and others die. It's a strange thing. Think about a war veteran. There's a period of his time when he's called to kill. Then he comes back and there's a time to heal from that. I mean, life is full of these opposites. A time to tear down and a time to build up. Do you realize that house that you love, that you built from scratch, will someday be torn down? You said, that's crazy. No, it's reality. There's a time to build and there's a time to... Urban renewal happens all the time. We're brought up in the polar opposites. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. C.S. Lewis said it best, pain is God's megaphone. He whispers in our pleasure and He shouts in our pain. Life is somewhere between crying and laughing. And you don't control it. Now, you know, I would say this, when it's time to grieve, have a good cry. People sometimes ask how I was able to do my parents' funeral. It's very difficult. So what I would do, I'd get alone and I'd have a time to cry. And I'd just boo-hoo my eyes out. I'd go through every emotion I could go through. Because it's kind of hard to stand up in front of a crowd at a funeral and if I cry the whole time, they're not going to understand a thing I say. So I would have a time to cry. And I would cry. And then most of the time, I was able to do the funeral without crying. But it's also good to have a time to laugh. Laughter is good. I'm going to try to tell you a joke. I don't tell jokes because I had to write it down. So please laugh, even if it's not funny. Because it's a time to laugh right now. I talked about dying... Here it is. After 20 years, a pastor left the ministry. He decided to become a funeral director. Someone asked him, why in the world did you want to become a funeral director? He said, well, I spent 12 years trying to straighten out John. He never did get straight. I spent 14 months trying to straighten out the marriage of the Smiths. It never happened. I spent 3 years trying to straighten out Susan, and she never got straightened out. Now when I straighten them out, they stay straight. So I feel few people laughed. But laughter is good. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. There's a time to grieve and a time to dance. I would consider myself personally, we've lost 2 mothers in 5 months. We're in a time of grieving. I was yesterday at the house and just not discouraged or depressed, but just grieving the loss of my parents. You know, it just gets you sometimes, doesn't it? You're sitting there, I'm working, Julie's at the school working, I'm by myself, and I just grieved a little bit. Last night I watched Blake Anderson. You know who Blake Anderson is? Arkansas State head coach. Isn't that right? Isn't that Blake Anderson? They had the biggest upset. They upset Kansas State last night. But, you know, the thing about Blake Anderson is 17 months ago he buried his dad. 13 months ago he buried his wife. And yet last night was a time of celebration and joy. But go back a few months. You see what he's trying to do? There's a time to grieve and there's a time to dance. More than likely referring to a wedding. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. I didn't understand that. What in the world did that mean? Well, back in the ancient days, you know, it was a part of warfare. Did you know that? What you would do, you know, one of the things armies have to do and everything is eat, right? And so they think many times that's referring that one of the things you could do in warfare is you could go scatter stones all over your enemy's fields. And guess what? Made it hard to plow. It made it hard to harvest. And there's a time to scatter, then there's a time to pick up. There's a time, it says, a time to embrace and a time to turn away. I can remember the first time I went overseas, I was gone for almost 2 weeks, and I came home, and I can remember embracing my wife, and it was a time to embrace. But I can also tell you of times when I said something I shouldn't have said. And jokingly, I said, give me a hug. And I got one of those looks that there would be no embracing. There's a time to embrace. There's a time not to embrace. There is a time to search and a time to quit searching. It's a terrible thing to call off the search because that means there's no hope. We lost a dog one time and we searched and searched and finally we had to accept the truth. That we weren't going to find our dog. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I've been going through my mother's stuff and I've been trying to figure out what to keep and what to throw away. A time to tear down. I mean, a time to tear and a time to mend. What does that mean? Well, most of the time they think there's a time, you know, when you mourn someone's death, you tear your clothes and put on ashes as a symbol of mourning. But after the mourning time's over, you know what you do? You sew it up and use it again. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Unfortunately, there are times of war. World War II, World War I, all the other wars. They're terrible, but sometimes there's no choice. But after every war, there's nothing more beautiful than peace, is there? You see, your life is made up of all these opposites. And one of the things you might ask yourself is, what season of life are you in right now? Are you in a time of laughing? Are you in a time of grieving? Are you in a time of healing? Life is made up of all these different experiences, and they're not bad or good, that just it's life. But here's what you'll do. If you don't accept them and work through them, you won't be able to really enjoy life. But the key to that is the third thing. Allow God to bring beauty out of your season. That is the most beautiful. The Romans 8:28 verse of the Old Testament is verse 11. You might memorize this verse. It says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful. He has made everything beautiful for its own time." God has made everything. What a beautiful verse that is. If you're grieving right now or you're mourning right now, if you can try to find God's perspective on what you went through, I promise you, He will bring good out of it. You will be able to see things from His perspective. If you look at life and the terrible things that happen, even that list of opposites, if you look at life and you just see them without God, it makes you cynical. And yet the thing that we're reminded of here is that everything in God's time and in God's purpose and in God's plan is beautiful. Maybe not at the moment when you're going through it, but it's all about perspective. And I see people who hate what they went through. Oh, I remember the first love of my life that broke up with me. I thought I would never find someone. It was the worst thing that ever happened. My dad would say, "You'll find the love of your life somewhere." I didn't want to hear it. But he was right. I got my wife. You know, if you don't, and he knew what he was doing when he allowed that to happen to me. Too often, we do not allow the tragedies that happen in our life. We don't allow God to show us what the good is that He brings out of it. You know, I can tell you, even with my parents' death, that in each one of those situations, God's brought good things out of it. And the reason is because I was looking for Him. Now, I could have not looked for Him. I could have just said, "God's bad. He took my mama home. He took my daddy home." I could have said that, but He didn't. He took them home. And they're better off than I am. But since then, I've been able to see the good that God had in my life. You know, in our Sunday school class this morning, there were about 11 of us in there. And we talked about what were some of the good things that came out of this COVID-19 that are coming out of it. And there are good things that are coming out of it. But you got to look for them. I tell you what, you won't find it on the news. I told him this morning, I wish somebody would put tape over that guy's mouth that keeps open. Fauci, I'm not ignorant either, I don't think. But he's telling us that life will not be normal till 2021. What is his problem? It might be different, yeah. But my goodness, it sounded like to me he was just telling me that life is going to be horrible to 2021. I'm going to be the first to say I absolutely loved watching football yesterday. I was watching Arkansas State. I could care less about Arkansas State, but I had fun watching it. You know, and I'm grateful they went ahead and played. You know? Now, they may not play next week. Baylor's supposed to play University of Houston. I'm going to have fun watching that. I'm not going to think the next super breakout is coming out there. I'm just saying this COVID thing doesn't have God by surprise. And He wants to bring good things out of your life. It sounds like the COVID's getting me. But we've got to look for it. Everything is beautiful in His time. Y'all remember that chorus? I started to have Bob sing it for us this morning. Y'all remember? We sang it years ago. In His time. Oh, it's horrible. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Oh, it's horrible. Why didn't I have you sing it? Golly. And then it says, Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way that you'll do just what you say in your time. How many of you remember that song? If I didn't butcher it enough that you couldn't remember it. You know, when you begin to look at things from God's timing, when you begin to look at things from God's perspective, guess what? You can see purpose in it all because He's in control. Now, the second thing, and this one's kind of a strange one, it says God put eternity in our hearts. What in the world does that mean? What in the world does that mean? It means this. It means God puts in your heart a curiosity about the future. Mankind has a curiosity about what will happen when he dies someday. Eternity in the heart means that you have a curiosity about the future. And you and I are not ready to handle life. Now get this. You and I are not ready to handle life until you're ready to face death. That's the truth. When you can understand that Jesus Christ died for you, that Jesus Christ loves you, when you understand what the gospel is all about, when you can handle the fact that someday you're going to die, and when you die, it's not the end of your good life and you have to go to heaven, but it's the continuation of your life. Listen, how do people live without any eternity in their heart? I mean, do you think this is it? When you die, it's over, done, and gone? And so the question is, when you think about the future, when you think about what happens when you die, what's your answer? I mean, because we all will die. It's a season that everybody has to go through. And the only way that you can face life is with the understanding that when you do die, you don't die. You go to be with Him. You have a thing called eternal life. See, right now, we all are living in God's time plan, His zone. But when you die, you either have eternal life with God or eternal life without God. And the only thing that makes the difference is Jesus. John 1:12 says this, "But to all who believed in Him and accept Him, He gave the right to become the children of God." The only way you can deal with the fact that life is temporary is with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you receive that gift, you can handle death. And you understand there's more to life than what is just now. A couple Wednesday nights ago, I shared about a group of people, and it just keeps sticking in my mind. They were a group of Moravian missionaries, and they were back during the 1800s. And these Moravian missionaries would purchase a one-way ticket to go share the gospel with different tribes around the world. And they'd get in a boat, and they'd go to places in the world, often places in the world that they knew they would not come back alive. Hostile people that they would share the gospel with. And one of the things they used to do is you would pack all your earthly possessions in your coffin. And the reason you would do that is because you realize that you're probably going to die wherever you go to serve. But they were okay with that. They still went. They still shared the gospel with people who were considered cannibals. They still shared the gospel with people who were mean and in many cases killed them. And the only reason is because they believed they were already dead in living for Christ. It wasn't their life, it was His life. You know, we live in time. And because we live in time, we all will die. But the real question is, do we have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And the only way to have it is to receive Him. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that as we go through life, we'd understand there are going to be difficult times. There are going to be good times. There are going to be hard times. It's just part of it. Life is full of hardship. But God, help us to remember that in Your time, everything is beautiful. And help us to not see what happens to us just from our perspective, but help us to see it from Your perspective. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You, I pray that they would understand the answer to all their seasons and times and problems of life is Your Son, Jesus Christ. Because through Him, we never die, but we live forever. Thank You for this beautiful passage of Scripture. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.